Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hello, this is Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show. Listen, continue to listen, and you'll discover your greatness.
Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hello, hello. That's right. We're back. It's Thursday. I'm a little late today. Got a lot going on. Getting ready for my trip to Australia. And then I have doing a wonderful program in Belize when I get back. I'll be spending almost 3 weeks down in Belize in Central America. If you don't know where it is, it's on the southern, go south of Mexico, and you'll find Belize. In Guatemala is the neighbor to the right there. Depends which way you're facing, I suppose. By the way, I love Guatemala. I spent a lot of time there, and really, really beautiful country. People often ask me which are my favorite countries. It's really hard to describe, you know, because I keep going to new countries every year. But certainly, Guatemala is so rich in culture and color and vibrancy, and of course, anywhere the Hispanic blood is always beautiful. So, but that's put that one on your bucket list. Some of the greatest photographs you'll ever take will be in Guatemala. Just the culture etched on the people's faces, and awesome, just an awesome thing. If you hear that little buzzing sound, my phone, I forgot to turn it off and I put it on vibrate. So there's a little vibration in the background there. That would be me. You know, I was out the other night. My ex-girlfriend was getting married. And, you know, a lot of our friends, we share the same friends, of course. And my ex-wife was there, and my girlfriend was there, and my kids were there. And we just had this amazing night of fun and laughter, and it was just a really, really great time. And the key word there is laughter. One of my buddies who was at the party, Wolf Krieg. Every time I'm around him, I just laugh and laugh and laugh. And there's a number of people like that in my life, but he's certainly one of those people. And you know, if this deep belly laugh, though, not just this sort of superficial stuff, this deep belly laugh. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want to talk a little bit about laughter, because I honestly, you're just not laughing enough. Sorry, guys. It's just not enough. Most people are grumpy buggers. Grumpy. And not even grumpy, you know, but I mean, there's so many stats out there. You know, children apparently laugh about 400 times a day. That's obviously preteen. Adults laugh on average 15 times a day. So what the heck happened? What did we get all serious about? I bet you right now, if you look in the mirror and ask yourself, when was the last time you had such a deep, big belly laugh? You know, where you're aching the next day. And again, I've got a number of friends like that. Another guy that comes to mind is Brad Reed. He lives in Chilliwack. And when we get together, I mean, you just laugh and laugh and laugh. And Wolf is like that. Every time we're around each other, the laughter is just, and it sort of builds on the last one. And I mean, my good friend Marcy Shymoff, she was on the podcast, on the show, and she wrote two books, you know, Love for No Reason and Happiness for No Reason. I think I should write a book, Laugh for No Reason. And then I have a really close friend, Courtney, who actually teaches laughter yoga. And I've had her teach in Australia with me, and she's taught here in my hometown. And it's amazing, you know, when you open up this doorway in yourself, this laughter doorway, it's almost like, you know, like at a program where I bring laughter yoga in, you know, and in the beginning you're faking it. And the most amazing thing is that the body can't tell. I mean, the benefits of laughter are such that the body really can't tell whether it's real or whether it's fake. So the great thing with that is a lot of people, is it weird? But the benefits are so important, right? And but they say, you know, that laughter releases endorphins, which is a chemical which is 10 times more powerful than any pain-relieving drug or morphine. Imagine that. And laughter does that. And it releases it into the body at this at the same effect as doing strenuous exercise as well. I mean, it's like it's unbelievably effective in and I believe in fighting disease as well. You know, the fact that I've never had a family doctor. You have a doctor? I don't have a doctor. I don't think that way. You know, we don't have a medicine chest in our house, and that may be very irresponsible for you that have everything in your kitchen cupboard. But I've always taught my kids, I said, if you want to get well. Think good thoughts. Now, I'm not saying they don't get a cold and they need a little something. I get all that. You know, you can squeeze some lemon and some ginger into a glass of water and fill it up with water. You know, I think I get all that. But pumping drugs into someone doesn't make any sense. But laughing has the ability to really pull people along. You know, it increases oxygen intake, which helps with cell regeneration. You know, it increases pain threshold. It boosts immunity. It relieves stress. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And you know, there's another stat which is kind of scary. They say that people smile only about 35% as much as they think they do. A lot of us think that we're doing more smiling than anything. And I often teach that. You know, I often teach people about, you know, having that little laughter lines. And I think there's some studies that show that people who have those laughter lines in the corner of their eyes are actually more successful than people that don't. And because I think it builds trust more quickly. There's a lot of reasons around that. So the idea then is that I want to talk a little bit about this and share some stories around laughter and maybe some of the things that we could be doing in to have more fun. And if you're on a walk right now, or jogging or whatever, a lot of you are exercising, I want you to notice and smile at everyone that you go by. Just smile. You don't have to even say, you can say hi if you want, but just smile. Watch what happens, the power of a smile. Because I always say that that's the number one key to success is our ability to smile more of the time. And I'm talking about either the crinkle in the side of our eyes, and you watch what happens. I mean, if you're feeling tired or exhausted, and I'm training my young son, Ben, he likes a lot of sleep, and I say, look, you know, he can really click his way out of anything. If he just changes how he's thinking, changes his physiology and puts a smile on his face, boom. If he was tired 1 second, he doesn't have to be tired the next second. It absolutely energizes us. So if you're out there right now exercising, I really want you to think about how many people you're smiling at, and really smile at them, you know, really connect with them through that smile, and start using your smile instead of being one of these stats, you know, where, you know, we've become an adult now. God forbid we have fun and laugh and be goofy, right? But I want to read one of the reviews from iTunes that just went up there. What date is this one? This is September 24th, so it was 3 days ago. And this is Alan G9151. I'm not sure where these names come from. But anyway, I'm not criticizing the name. It just seems a little strange. Alan G91151. Okay. He says, a few months ago, I was looking for something to listen to during the day. In that moment, a gift came to me in the form of the Kick-Ass Live with David Wood. What a gift this is. Loving this podcast. Thank you, David. He says, I like to laugh and I appreciate your sense of humor. Great accent too. Hey, mate, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about my Australian accent? Or, hey, maybe my name is Jean-Claude and I like to tell you a little thing or two, you know. I like to talk about love. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? A little rampe-pampe. Anyway, I don't know which accent you're talking about, but I do lots of them. I also like to learn, and you and your guest always share something that I can use to do better in my life and the lives of those around me. often in that very moment. Always a great podcast. I like recommending this to everyone. And I even recommend it to strangers too. Thanks, Alan. And what I liked about that, he says, I like to laugh. The reason I chose that, right? But it just came up there. I like to laugh. And I think we all like to laugh. The question is right now is, what are you doing? If you want to lead a kick-ass life, then I want to ask that question. What are you doing on a daily basis to add more fun, more laughter, more giggles, more wrestling matches, more pillow fights, right? And even just the, you know, jokes. I mean, listening to comedy is awesome. You know, there's nothing wrong. In fact, why don't we do that right now?
I think the worst time to have a heart attack is during a game of charades. Especially if your teammates are bad guessers. The only time worse would be during a game of fake heart attack. Followed by naps. I went into a shoe store and I said, hey, can I get those in a 10? The guy said, sure, and he went in the back. Then a couple minutes later he came out and he goes, I don't have a 10, I have a 9. Great. Because while you were in the back, my toes were severed off. Normally, it would be retarded for you to say a number different than what we agreed on. But given my very recent accident, you're right on.
You know, what's amazing, though, when you listen to that, it's not the joke. I mean, it doesn't matter. They could be funny to you or not. What I find, though, is that it's so hard for me to listen and not get caught up in the laughter. You listen to a laughter track. And what's amazing, you know, I have laughter yoga taught at a number of my events, like I mentioned. And, you know, we start with fake laughter, but by the end of the program, I'm telling you, and Courtney's a genius at this, you can't help it. I mean, you start to look at each other, and especially if you've been in the same class, you're going to look at each other. And by the way, laughter yoga is predominantly free, even to learn it. It's amazing. I think it's originated in India. I should have looked it up, some of the stats, before I started this. But what's amazing, though, is this healing energy. But I think that there's a few things that I love about laughter, which really, for me, are essential. Is apart from the medicinal aspect, which I truly believe why, I mean, because my dad has a great sense of humor. His mom had a great sense of humor. You go to her, her name was Martha, right? And she was this little tiny woman when she had a hump on her back. She really did. It's like a big one too. It wasn't a little hump. She had a big hump on her back. You know, she's always stooped over, you know. And you say, hey, Gran, how you feeling? She's like, with me hands, love. How do you feel? With me hands, right? And that was always her opening line. And so, you know, again, you know, how do you start really thinking about laughter as a part of your family culture? And what kind of games do you want to play where it creates laughter? Now, we do a lot around the table. We actually have a game actually on the table. It's not necessarily making you laugh, but sometimes it does. But it really, really creates conversation. And it's called Table Topics. And it's just like this whole bunch of cards. And we take it in turns to pull out questions. We played it again last night. I wouldn't say we play it every meal, but it's a great thing, again, to have around your life when you start thinking about creating a kick-ass life. I mean, this is simple stuff. This is simple stuff. In fact, I'm going to write a whole chapter on laughter in my book. And by the way, those of you that have been asking about the book, I told everyone I'm quitting drinking until I get the book done, but I'll have a celebration drink in between chapters. And I have been so busy. We're just closing on this resort in Belize. And again, here I go. This is not an excuse moment, but it's just the truth. So I've really got to get back down to writing. And I'm off to Australia, then Belize. So I really hope to carve out some time so I can get this book finished. But, you know, I think laughter really has to be a part of, you know, a foundational piece of a kick-ass life that we, and remember, one of my philosophies is that everyone's waiting for someone else to go first. And so laughter is one of those big things that we have to say to ourselves, you know, laughing first. Like when I go, you know, I go to a show. We went to see, it was a brilliant, brilliant movie. I laughed, I cried, I bawled, all right? And it was The Untouchables. It's a phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it yet, and it's in French, so you have to read it. But, I mean, I just found myself laughing more than anyone else in the cinema and louder. And as I laughed, I could hear the rest of the audience sort of laughing at me laughing. But it's because it's unabashed. It's like crying in a cinema. You should be able to cry in a cinema. There should be a box of Kleenex. It doesn't matter if you've got big muscles or no muscles. There should be a box of Kleenex on the seat in front. And we should be encouraged to cry during, because I cry anyway. But laughing. And really big belly laughing. And I just feel like for days afterwards, I almost feel a tingle in my body, right? But again, so laughter is, you know, they call it the best medicine, all right? And it strengthens the body's ability to fight disease, which I think is really phenomenal. And of course, it helps deal with stress. So if you're in a stressful situation, you know, it's very, very hard for us to say stress when we're in that laughter mode, right? I told about, you know, lowering blood pressure, increasing energy levels. I talk to this with my son, you know, I say, you know, when he's feeling tired, you know, and then typically, which is I'll jump on him and tickle him and, you know, I start laughing. And, you know, you go from having this exhausted kid dragging his sorry butt around the bedroom at, you know, 6:30 in the morning to get ready for school, to somebody who's energized. Why? Because of that, right? And also, I think this is the big one, though. This bond between others. When people talk about my travels around the world and they wonder how I was able to travel in all these countries where I didn't speak the language, and I realize I did speak a common language. And it's even known. I mean, you think about it. Every culture in the world laughs the same. You know, not everyone. You think of the Africa. When we go to Africa in February. By the way, if you want to join me on a trip in Africa to climb Kilimanjaro, we want to do a community project there. If you want to do that, it's going to be an awesome trip. We're going to do 1 day in the classroom. We're going to do 5.5 day climb up the mountain, 1.5 days back down, and then unless you trip, that is about 4 hours. That's what I mean. Like, those guys, those people that have written comments on my reviews about they don't like the way I laugh. It's like, I bet they don't laugh much. That's the challenge, right? They don't want to hear laughter, right? Because they don't laugh a lot themselves. So anyway, but then we're going to do a day off, massage that, and then we're going to go on an incredible safari in a crater. It's unbelievable safari. And then we want to do a community project, raise some money and build a school there. So, you know, it's February 1st to the 13th. So if you're interested in that, you should get hold of me and I'll figure out if you fit, because it's got to be a really fun group. One of the primary things I'm putting this group together with is fun. I've invited a lot of my closest friends, and because I want to hang out with people on this kind of trip, with people who love to have a good time, who love to laugh. Hello, that's a big, it doesn't matter if you can pay to come, it matters if you want to be present. And sort of getting back to them, when I traveled through Africa, you know, I spent 3.5 months on a safari on my own through South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana. And I've been North Africa. I haven't been much in the center of the continent yet. But what I realized, what really joined me to everyone was my sense of humor, is that I could laugh even though I couldn't speak. And it doesn't matter if you're in the Kalahari and you're talking click. I mean, it doesn't matter. They still laugh, and they laugh exactly the same way. And a lot of people think it's because of the origin of man, or depending on what your thoughts are. I mean, as far as anthropology is concerned, right? Is that, you know, as man has sort of evolved in whatever form. Again, I'm not knocking faith here at all. I'm just talking about the evolution. And I see evolution, by the way, in my own culture. I mean, in England right now, my mother's home is in Tudor England, and so the door wells come up to my chest. I mean, and if I stand in a pub, my head is bent because the ceilings are so low. So what I'm talking about, this kind of evolution, right? But the idea, though, is that you know, that the origin, people have always laughed. And so again, if we're looking at you right now and you're asking yourself that question, what can I do? What do I do to laugh more? And that's why, you know, on sitcoms, that's why they have the laughter track in the background. Because again, there's this infectious thing about that. And so, you know, you find yourself laughing at the laughing. You know, and there was a famous story actually in Africa, talking about Africa, in Tanzania apparently. A few schoolgirls began laughing uncontrollably, and their laughter soon spread to people in the neighboring communities. And they actually closed a community off to stop other schools catching this laughing bug. And they say it was like an epidemic that lasted 6 months. How fun would that be? Imagine laughing for 6 months. So it's not just about jokes. It's about seeing. It's like when Wolf and I are together, it is this immense physical kind of boisterous laughter. It doesn't have to be funny stuff. I don't even remember anything we've said. It's just this thing that he is so in his body, in his whole psyche and everything. He's got this great big smile. And when we're around each other and we hug each other and noogie each other and I kiss him and again, but I come away with this deep sense of connection. So when I talk about laughter connecting us as a human race, truly then to lead a kick-ass life, we need to grow those laughter muscles. I mean, you want to be, when you're old and gray, you want to be in that place where your laughter lines on the side of your head are so big. You got such a wrinkle head because of your ability to laugh your way through life. And it's amazing. And a lot of the things, you know, in when I building connection with strangers, I tell you, if in the first few minutes you're able to laugh about something, and it's amazing connection is built very, very quickly. And it feels, for a lot of people, I've been told this so many times, people feel like they've known me their whole life after a very first meeting. And typically around that conversation is so much laughter. And then what, you know, one of my good friends, Jack Canfield, from the Chicken Soup from the Soul, when I'm at his place, you know, what defines the whole night? Laughter. We laugh and laugh and laugh. And he's a great storyteller and a great joke teller. And I love telling jokes. So this is another thing you could do. Some of you, I can't tell you, this is really, I'm going to use a bad word here. It really pisses me off when people say, well, I don't tell jokes. I don't remember them. What do you mean you don't remember jokes? That is absolute horse poop. Of course you will. If you sat down and you read it and then you said it, and then you watch someone tell it, and then you model them, and you exaggerate. Remember, a little exaggeration, a little physical movement. In fact, on my program in Belize, I'm going to teach joke telling as part of the curriculum because it's so essential. But don't ever let yourself utter those words, I don't remember jokes. But of course you will. If you wanted to remember them and you stop that silly conversation in your head, the challenge isn't the whether you remember a joke. The challenge is whether you have the courage to say it. Because the risk of telling a joke well is that you're going to look pretty silly. And that's it. You have no reservations. And that's where you're living fully in your body. Yeah, you're right in there. You're absolutely full, you know. And so, you know, for me, again, this whole conversation is such an essential one. And laughter is so wonderful. Let's have another listen and see what happens. Oh, no, it didn't stop.
I find that at most theme parks, the theme is, wait in line, fatty. Every fight is a food fight when you're a cannibal. If you have a pear-shaped body, you should not wear pear-colored clothes. Or act juicy.
It doesn't have to be funny.
Or wear purple. Grimace.
Anyway, you know, I didn't even listen to those before I put them up there. You know, but the thing is that I really urge you then, as we're sort of coming off the call. The call, listen to me. It's a show. It's a show. All right. First of all, I really urge you then, what are you going to do in the next 90 days to bring more laughter into every day? You know, I even asked someone the other day, we were out, and I asked my friend, I said, do you think, this is my friend Mike. Hey, Mike, I know you're listening in. But, you know, I said, do you think I laugh more than most people? He said, yeah, you do. And I'm thinking, well, there must be a reason for that. And it must be the way you see the world. It's the way you see each moment. It's that it's not needing the apology of others or the permission to be silly, the permission to laugh the loudest in the cinema, the permission to really walk up to strangers and even if you can't understand them, start to laugh or you know, I wrap my arms around people a lot when I first meet them and there's a lot of physical contact. All right. So again, what we're going to do is really start thinking about the authenticity piece in here. Is stop hiding who you really are. And when you stop hiding, when you live authentically in your body without needing the permission of others, right? Remember that wonderful saying by my lovely lady, Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, what other people think of me is none of my business. And it's so, so true. And you need to, you know, stop following the rules. I mean, that's a big one. I mean, kick-ass life people, they ask for forgiveness, not permission. They just have to. I'm not saying you break the rules and you know, go to jail kind of rules, but, you know, break the rules. I mean, it's like, who made all the rules anyway? So one kid, you know, gets hurt and now they put a new rule out there and everyone's meant to conform to that rule. I mean, I get rules. I just like breaking them. I mean, my kid said the other day, he said, Dad, do you break every rule when you're driving? You know, I mean, there's nothing funnier than going the wrong way around a roundabout. And try it, especially in busy traffic. Well, again, in our culture, people don't get it. But in France one time, one of the busiest roads in the whole of Europe is the Champs-Élysées. And there are 12 roads coming into the Arc de Triomphe, right? And so it's like the busiest thing. And my sister came over from England. I brought her over to France for a long weekend. And I took her on this wild, wild tour of Paris. I love Paris. It's such a great city. And at rush hour traffic, I made her a bet. And I drove the wrong way around the Arc de Triomphe. And this is the busiest roundabout in the world. The wrong way around the Arc de Triomphe in busy traffic. Why? Why not? I mean, no one's moving very fast anyway. So all I'm doing is I'm going the opposite way, bibbing my horn. Everyone's bibbing and they're giving me the finger and they're swearing. And I'm going the other way and I'm laughing and I'm bibbing the horn. And they move out the way because they don't want to hurt their car. But I mean, talk about laugh. We laugh for days and days and days over that one. So that would be you know, breaking or kind of a rule where who cares? At the big end of the day, all right, so I drove the wrong way around a roundabout and made a lot of people swear, but a lot of people did laugh. A lot of people got it. They realized I was being completely goofy, all right? So anyway, the other part of that, you know, is to lead a lighter life, and this is something I got to do a little bit more myself, is get rid of a lot of crap in your life. A lot of people are afraid. They have so many possessions. It's like why they won't move house. I can't tell you when I hear this so often. People, oh, I can't move. You so much stuff I've got. Get over that. Get moving now. Move. Go and find a new adventure. I mean, you're going to be laying in your coffin soon wondering what the hell happened. Well, I couldn't move because my garage was full of crap. Just go set fire to it. Give it away. Put a big free sign up there, and you'll find out when you lose everything, right, that you're going to feel lighter, more mobile, able to look at the world differently because you're not just trying to defend your possessions. You know, I had some friends staying over the other day, and they said they were just driving into town, and I didn't know them very well, but now I do because they just spent 3 days here. But first question out of my mouth was, do you have somewhere to stay? And they said, we're staying at a hotel. I said, no, you're not. Come stay with me. All right. And I said, sure. And I said, by the way, I just leave the doors open. So just wander in when you're here. Right. I don't know if you're listening and you're a burglar. You're going to love this. This is a good house to burgle. No. But the fact is that, you know, I don't need to lock the door every single time. So I leave it open most of the times. And sometimes I leave it actually open. Now, is this crazy stuff? Maybe. But I have this philosophy that if someone really wants to get in, they're going to get in anyway. Now, I'm not saying everyone should leave their door open. All I'm saying is we don't have to worry so much about our shit that we can't go do anything. And that gets us caught down as well, right? And the other big one before we go, as we're wrapping up the show, is two things. Stop being so busy, all right? So make some time to have fun, more fun in your life, and start something, all right? Start something that, you know, that is going to get you excited. Start something, a project. Like, let's say that, like me, you've always wanted to learn the saxophone, all right? And go take a saxophone lesson, or if you've always wanted to fly, go take a flying lesson. If you haven't got the money, the first fan flight of a flying lesson, by the way, is only like $20, $25 or something like that, and you've got for an hour, fly over your house. I've said this before, all right? But the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, as we get out of here, is that we have to laugh more, is that laughter has to become a part of our DNA. To truly lead a kick-ass life, we have to find things funny, we have to be funnier. Not that we have to be comedians. We don't. But we do. We have the ability to tell some jokes. And this is a rule I tell my kids. If someone tells a joke, even if it's a bad joke or a groaner, laugh. I fake laugh because I think if they have the courage to tell a joke, I'm going to laugh at it. Now, I don't go over the top if it's a really crappy joke, but I'm not going to make them feel terrible. And that's the reason why I think a lot of people don't even bother telling jokes, right? Because guess what? Someone, well, that was not funny, right? All right. So anyway, so as we leave this here, we're going to be thinking much more about laughter becoming a really, really important part of our life. We're going to start having more fun in our life. All right. We're going to start letting go of more crap in our life. All right. We're going to start learning how to tell jokes. And I want every single person who listens to this show who is a diehard to learn a brand new joke in the next 30 days and tell it to at least 10 people. By the time you've told it to the 10th person, I promise you it's going to be a part of your DNA. I have my favorite selection of jokes that I pull on, but it's great to add new ones to the repertoire, as it were. All right, and if go to comedy club, go to a comedy. We listened to a comedian the other night. I laughed my tail off. We went to a show, comedian was on, and you know, tears rolling down my face. Anyway, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You ain't laughing enough. How do I know? The stats told me that. You know, you used to laugh 400 times a day, and now you're laughing on average 15, and you're smiling 35% less than you think you are. So pull your heads from your behind and go out there and make it a fabulous day and laugh your tail off. Have a great laugh. See you on the other side, everyone. Thank you so much. Hey, go on the web. See us on Facebook. See you there. Kick ass life.
That was kick ass.